dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. And then he put my name in there, Colin. You can put your name. I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want them to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and discharge all the duties of your ministry. Would you turn over to 1 Peter? 1 Peter chapter 3. One verse. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Peter, under the anointing, says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give you the reason for the hope that you have. Let me say it again. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you again for your word, and I thank you for your spirit that causes your logos word to come alive and become rhema in our life. Before we begin this morning, I ask for a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, you would take literal possession of my mind and my mouth. I only want to say what I hear you say and do what I see you do. With the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird, and I command you to release every person and be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. You will not interfere, you will not pervert, and you will not distort the word that is going to be sown. And Father, I thank you again that you are speaking and your children are hearing. I thank you today that you are saying things that are not going to come out of my mouth, but your children will hear it, they will know it's you, they will capture it, and they will be obedient to it. Father, we truly believe that a single word from you can change everything. And so I thank you by faith that you are going to speak words today that will change everything in our life. We ask it believing in the powerful and the beautiful name of Jesus. And everybody expecting said, amen. Can I just ask you a question this morning? How many of you woke up and there was an anticipation to be in church this morning? It just was in there. How many of you had that? Yeah. I won't even ask how many of you went, I'm not feeling like it, but I'm going to go. I won't even ask you. Because there are days like that in all of our lives, including mine, by the way. I love the story of the man who woke up in the morning and he decided to sleep in, and his wife came and said, sweetheart, we got to get up and go to church. He says, I don't want to go today. And so she went away and she came back and said, sweetheart, we got to get up and go to church. And he says, really, I don't want to go today. And she went away and she came back a few minutes later and said, sweetheart, we got to get up and go. He goes, I don't want to go. She goes, honey, you're the pastor. Get up. That does happen. First Sunday of the month is regularly the prayer Sunday. In light of all that's going on in the world, I want to tell you we need to be doing praying, and we're going to do that. A little later in the month, we're going to have our prayer Sunday a couple weeks from now. But the Lord laid upon my heart the need to do something else this morning. And when I get through this, you'll understand why. This past Wednesday was the first evening of the outreach ministry that we have in the church. First time we got together and we went door to door and sowing the seed of the gospel that is in this brochure, Because I Care. This was the first Wednesday. Did any of you who live in this area, did you get one of these in your mailbox? Is there anybody who lives in this area? No, I don't know that any of us do. We first got together, we met here, We had a little bit of time in the Word. God laid a couple verses on my heart. We waited on the Lord because we wanted the Lord to tell us what kind of territorial spirits we are going to be dealing with when we walk in the community. We did our neighborhood. We did the trailer park on the north side of town. And so we waited on the Lord, and the Lord was faithful to reveal a couple things. We spent a little bit of time in prayer. And then after that, we went out, and four teams of two went out and covered in this area 300 homes in 45 minutes as we walked up and distributed. I got to tell you, it was a beautiful evening outside. Beautiful to be walking out in the weather and beautiful going door to door. But I also want to tell you, it was a beautiful evening spiritually. Praying over each house as we went there, putting a brochure in every mailbox or into the hands of people that were at the doors and opened the door and asked what we were doing and put the brochure in their hand, walking down the sidewalk, praying and declaring, not only for those in the community, but for the receptivity of the brochure. When people would pick it up, they'd look at it, there would be favor on it, they'd be curious to read it, and have a seed planted on the inside of them. Ultimately, bringing them to opportunity to have a choice to believe and to receive Christ and have their eternity changed, or to reject it. That is the choice that every person has. But ultimately, to give them a decision. I got to tell you, and the Lord just strongly laid in my heart, and I just want to say that, do you know that for some people, and we are probably over the next number of months going to be distributing about 20,000 brochures in Camrose in this area. Do you know that for some people, this is going to be the first time they have had opportunity to hear and to read the gospel and have a prayer of salvation stuck in front of them? I got to tell you, I was shocked last year, and you know this, I shared it with you, at one of the banks in town, sitting with one of the bank agents. Man, went in and we were doing something, and the Lord just prompted me, asked a question. 2 hours later, shared the entire message I shared in January about reaching the lost, about salvation, the whole message, used the example of the penicillin, used the example of the snake on the cross. At the end of that, this young mom, and she was going on maternity leave in a few weeks, this young mom looked at me and she goes, I got to say thank you. She goes, I have never heard this in my entire life. This lady's in her 30-some years of age, and I'm thinking, don't you have a television? Don't you have a phone? Don't you have the internet? Don't you have... Can I tell you, you can have all those things and still never hear the gospel of Christ. I went back the next day because she said to me, and I got to tell you again, this is not the middle of India. This is not Africa. This is not... I went back to the bank carrying a Bible because this young lady said to me, I said to her, I said, do you have a Bible? She goes, we don't have any Bibles in our home. She goes, I've never read the Bible. And I wanted to look at her and go, get out of town. That's not even possible in our day. Can I tell you, it's possible. And God has just impressed upon me, for some people, as we go and as we deposit this brochure, they're going to look at it. It doesn't say Jehovah Witness. It doesn't say the Bible. I'm believing in obedience. The Spirit's going to put a light on that thing. They're going to take it and read it. And for some of them, it is going to be the first time when they get to the end, they will have an opportunity to pray a prayer of salvation. First time ever. There's going to be some. I'll tell you, they've had opportunity before, but in those times, they didn't do it. And all of a sudden, in this format, they're going to come, they're going to read it. It is a fresh opportunity under a fresh anointing. And they will go, you know what? I should have done this a long time ago. And they're going to pray that prayer. I got to tell you one of the other things. I know, and I've been praying into this, we're going to be depositing that brochure into the mailboxes of some people who go to church. Not this church. Although this church, you'll get it. But there's going to be some people who go to church who get this brochure. They're going to look at this thing, and I believe the Spirit of God is going to make them curious. They're going to read this thing, and they're going to go, why have I never heard in my church that I need to make a personal decision for Christ and pray and receive Him? I want to ask you a question. How many of you were raised in churches, you went Sunday after Sunday or periodically, and you never heard that there was a need to receive Christ into your life? How many of you had that growing up? A bunch of us did. I did. You can sit in church and not know that you need to be born again. When we came back on Wednesday, back to the church, and we debriefed after our distribution, there was a couple comments that were made that just really stood out. One of them, and it was a number of people, they said, you know, it was incredibly peaceful walking out there tonight. Not talking weather-wise or whatever. Spiritually, it was incredibly peaceful. And one of the other comments that was made is that for those of us, there's a number of us had encounters with people. The people were so pleasant, so receptive, so open when you just told them, and they just went, thank you very much. And they just took it from you. It almost made me want to be JW with all the negative slamming doors going, you need to come and do it this way. Except we'll talk about that in a second. I got to tell you, it was a blessed evening. 300 seeds sown in this area. But after we were done, and after I went home and I was praying into the distribution and praying into the ones that were coming up, the Lord began to impress on me that we as a church need to be prepared, not for the fallout. And I will say there's going to be some fallout. Jesus had fallout. Do you know that? Not everybody agreed with his message or his approach. Not everybody. There is going to be some fallout, but I want to tell you, the Lord said, we need to be prepared for the fruit, for the harvest, for the response that the Holy Spirit brings about as a result of our obedience to sow the seed in Camrose and in the surrounding communities. I'm believing for about 30 communities around us that we're going to go. We're going to go and do two on this Wednesday. As you know, and I just want to refresh you, how this all came about. Every first Sunday of January, I preach. The focus of that Sunday is reaching the lost. That's what the vase is all about. At the end of it, we fill out the cards, we put it in the vase. And then after that, every Sunday, we take those names, we pray over them. We've done that in this church for almost 30 years now, praying for people in the vase. But this year, for the first time after that Sunday, the Lord did something to me that I have never had him do before, and he put an urgency to provide people in my world with the opportunity. Those who will never step through this door until they're saved, they will never come into this world where I'm at. It's people I'm stepping into their world. I step into the bank world. I step into the grocery store world. I step into the hardware world. Wherever I go, I'm stepping into their world, and that is where the connection is happening. Week after week after week, I see these people. I make an effort to talk to them, get to know them, ask how their weekend was, building on a relationship, but never moving it to the point where I stand there, share my faith, and ask them to receive Christ. And the Lord said, call, we've got to change that. I've shared with you before, I've never had the urgency that the Holy Spirit put on me at the beginning of this year. So, in obedience, I took the time and I wrote out this letter. It began as a letter. I wrote it out. I went over it. I took it to Shelley in order to have her use her gifting to format it. She came back with a better format than I would have imagined. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. How many times, Shelley? Doesn't matter. Eternity is a long time. We came up with what we have today. And I need to tell you, at first, that is as far as I ever thought it would go. I had this brochure. I began taking it, and I began giving it out. I began saying to people, if I'm in your bank, you got a brochure. If I'm in the grocery store, you got a brochure. If I'm in the hardware store, you got a brochure. That is what God said. Call in your acquaintances. You need to give them opportunity to accept or reject. You got to get it off your head. That's what I felt the Lord leading me to do. And I began giving them out. But then, I felt the Lord leading need to share it with you. And so some of you might remember the day that I brought it, the day that I shared what God laid in my heart, the day that I read the brochure in here to let you know what the Lord was doing and to make it available for some of you who felt led to do the same, give you a copy and began giving it to people in your world. I want to tell you, very exciting. Over this spring period of time and over the summer, it was exciting to hear the beautiful encounters I heard over and over as many of you took that brochure and as you gave it to people in your world, as you stepped in their world, you gave it to them, people read it, and you came back and shared the feedback. It was beautiful. Then, this past summer, the Lord laid upon our heart to make it a goal over the summertime to sow one brochure a week over the summer into someone's life. The first one was to sow it to someone who was already saved. That was the easy one. You're already saved. I don't need to be afraid of you or have you reject me. Here's a brochure. Could you read it? Just tell me what you think. I gave that brochure out to a number of believers and said, just tell me what you think. Good to hear their feedback. I got to tell you, it's kind of funny, coming from a Lutheran background. You would be amazed how many Lutheran pastors were pastors in their churches for years before they got saved. Does that sound weird to you? First Sunday, gave it out. First week, gave it out to someone in our life who knew the Lord. Every week after that, giving it out to someone in our world who didn't know the Lord. Giving it to a non-believer, praying over that seed, and asking the Holy Spirit to use it to bear fruit. But I got to tell you, going through the summertime, as we were doing that, and as we were sharing it, as we were praying over that almost every Sunday, and as people were taking it out, the Lord began impressing on me something even more. And I got to tell you again, this is only obedience because I haven't had this in 30 years. The Lord said, Call, you need to be responsible for this Jerusalem and this Samaria. You need to give them a choice. I don't want there to be one person on the day of their death or my return who looks and goes, I never heard. I didn't know. I'm that one person in the bank, 30 some years of age, who never had the gospel, never heard the message. Lord's going, not one. The other night, as we met, and I'll go over a couple things right away, but we've talked about some responses. I got to tell you, when we handed out the Y book, there were times we went up to the door and explained what the Y book was, and a person said, I don't want it. Take it with you. Do you know what Jesus' response was in Scripture when his disciples went to share the faith and people rejected him? Do you know what his response was? Argue with them, get them to take it, push it in their hand. What did he say? You know what? He says, if they don't want it, you just take the feet, you wipe the dust, and you walk away. We are not responsible for how people respond to the seed. We're responsible to give them the choice to take it, and after that, it's on them. I don't know how many people in Judgment Day are going to stand there, and the Lord's going to go, you had opportunity. The seed was put in your hand. It was in your mailbox. It was hung on your door. The urgency, our Jerusalem, our Samaria. So I began praying into it. Lord, what does it look like? How do we go about doing this? And that is how the Wednesday Outreach Ministry came to be, with the goal of reaching the entire community of Camrose, at least 30 of the surrounding towns and villages over the next 7-8 months. This past week, as the Lord and I were talking about this, he said to me, Colin, he said, if you are sowing the seed, he said, if you're doing it by faith, you need to prepare for a harvest. Now, I got to tell you, fall is in full bloom. And every farmer in this church, between all the rain showers that are happening, they are out there, they are going hard, but there isn't one of them who this past spring went out and sowed seed in their field who went, I'm going to sow the seed, but I'm expecting nothing in return. Not one of them did that. Every farmer went out there, sowed the seed by faith, prepared over the summertime between golf and all the other things they did, preparing for the harvest that they knew and believed was coming. That's the farmers. And the Lord said, call. That's how it works in the natural. Everybody knows it. The Lord said, it's the same in the spiritual. If you are beginning to sow seed spiritually, you need to be expecting and preparing for a harvest return on those seeds. And so this morning I need to share a number of things with you in preparation for the harvest on our sowing. Would you grab your bulletin? I'm going to shoot them up on the screen. A number of things that I would like you to write down. And again, I'm trusting Holy Spirit, because if this is an obedience that we as a church are doing, the church, we are going to be impacted by the fruit and the harvest. The first thing the Lord impressed upon me was that as a church, we need to be in prayer about a few things. And would you just write down number one? In this whole area, would you be in prayer for this outreach ministry? I want to encourage you to put it on your prayer list. Even if you're not a part of it, even if you're not going out, even if there's nothing you do other than pray, would you pray for this ministry? Would you pray for the hearts of people to be prepared? Would you pray that there is, God puts a favor on the brochure that when people look at it, they just are drawn to it. They want to read it. Would you pray that there is a harvest on the seeds that are being sown every Wednesday evening in our community and around? If all you do is pray. The second, would you pray for the teams that are going out every Wednesday? Again, you may not be going, but every Wednesday there are going to be teams that are going out. Would you pray protection over them? Would you pray for discernment as we wait on God and deal with the territorial spirits as we're going around? Would you pray for wisdom as we are encounter people? We're going to encounter people. Would you pray that as we go, the motive behind this and all that we would do is love? Because can I tell you, if we do anything without love, it is a noisy gong. This is not a ritual. This is an obedience of love that the Lord is calling us to do. Would you put it on your prayer list? Pray for the teams every Wednesday. And if the Lord reminds you that from 5 o'clock to about 8 or 9 o'clock, would you be praying for us as we are out there going door to door, being spiritual farmers planting seed? Would you write down number three? Would you pray about being part of the ministry? Now, this is not something that you need to commit to every Wednesday, because every one of us who are there going, none of us can make it every Wednesday. We've got stuff going on. But when we are available and when we can make it, we're coming out and we're going to go and do, wherever we're going, we're going to do the sowing of the seed. Would you pray about being part of it? Even one time. I got to tell you, there are some who feel called to sow. They have an evangelist anointing, and they just want to be out there. There are some people out there by faith, because they are seeking to kill the fear that is inside of them. They know there's fear, and they are not giving into it. They're going, God, I want you to grow me. God, I'm taking the steps. God, I'm not chicken. I'm going to be an eagle. I want you to pray about it. Two levels of preparedness. I'd like you to write these down. Number one, we've got to prepare for people who ask us about the brochure. And number two, we got to be prepared for people who walk in the door. Let's deal with, first of all, people asking. Number one, people asking. Because this brochure is going to go out in your neighborhood, it's going to go out in your community, those of you in the surrounding communities, it's going to go out to New Norway, it's going to go out to Bashaw, it's going to go out to Holden, it's going to go out to Armina, it's going to go out to Hay Lakes, New Norway, it's going to go all the way. We're going to go all the way around. Every one of those communities we're going to hit. Because it's going out all around Camrose, there's going to be talk. I want to encourage you to become familiar with that brochure so that if your neighbor, if somebody, if you run into somebody and they go, did you get that thing in your mailbox? And you go, what thing? This brochure, this Blue Because I Care brochure, did you get that? And you went, yeah, I got that. In fact, our church is the one who put it out there. And be prepared to ask them and go, what, did you read it? Ask them, what do you think of it? Be ready for some feedback. But the Lord laid in my heart and said, the last thing we as a church need, if we are distributing, if people come up and ask us, we go, you know what, I don't know nothing about it. Yeah, I go to that church, but I know nothing about it. And we miss a window of opportunity in order to speak about and share with them and have them share with us. If you haven't already, I want to encourage you to pick one up. I want to encourage you to read it. I want to encourage you to get to know the story behind it. How many of you, if I make this statement, the penicillin story, how many of you could raise your hand and go, I know the penicillin story? Yeah. I think all of us know the story of the snake on the cross with Moses, right? All of us know that if you went to Sunday school. But I encourage you to get to know that. I got to tell you, when the Lord shared that, I used that penicillin story. I can't tell you how many times when I'm sharing with people, that penicillin story is real. It is a parable that opens the door for me to talk about Christ in their life. I want to encourage you to be prepared. Become familiar with it. Know what it is. So when they ask you, you can go, yeah, I know what that's about. And you can make the statement. And you can tell them, and you can say, every January in our church, this is what we do. And this January, after our pastor felt led that, man, there was an urgency to make it so that every person out there could have an opportunity. That's what this is about. And ask them the question, what'd you think of it? Ask them, did you pray the prayer? How many of you would be comfortable if someone came and asked you about the brochure, that you would look at them and go, can I ask you a question? Did you pray the prayer at the end of the brochure? How many of you would be comfortable asking someone that question? All three of us. Can I encourage you, if that door opens, if that person comes and they're talking about it, be prepared to ask them the eternal faith question, did you read the brochure? Did you pray the prayer? And might it be that on your sidewalk or on your lawn, when you're talking with someone, that they go, I read the brochure, but I didn't pray the prayer. And you ask them and say, what did you think about it? They tell you and go, well, would you like to pray the prayer? And they go, you know, I believe I do. And right there in your hallway, right there on your lawn, you pray with them to receive Christ in their life. I know for some of you, your flesh is just squealing with fear. At the end of church, we're going to provide a gospel gun. You shoot that flesh, and you allow the Lord to lead you to become an instrument of salvation in people's lives. Can I tell you, if we're not prepared, we're going to close that door. If we're not prepared, it's going to come, and we're going to miss it. Does that make sense? I want you to know that those of us who are going on Wednesdays, we are preparing. The first meeting we had a couple weeks ago, we prepared ourselves because we're going to talk to people. It's going to come up. Let me give you a few that as I was waiting on the Lord, he gave me. Again, I told you the one where someone comes up and says, no, thank you. Now, we are not going to wipe our shoes off right in front of them. We've talked about that. We're not going to do that. We're going to say, thank you for your time. God bless you. We're going to be as polite as we can. You don't want it? Thank you for your time. And we're going to walk away. That was a choice they made. They missed that seed. Hopefully, there'll be more that comes. Somebody comes to us. We're handing it out at the door. Somebody's going to go, I'm already a Christian. How do you respond? We're going to say, that's wonderful. If you'd like to know what all of your non-believing neighbors are receiving, you're welcome to keep it. Now, if you're a Christian, would you like to know that your non-believing neighbors that you've lived beside for 15 or 30 years that you've never talked to about the Lord, somebody else is talking to them about the Lord, and they get it, and they want to talk about the Lord. Do you want to know what they're going to be talking about? I believe every Christian is going to go, yeah, I'll take one. And I believe a bunch of them that have the Christian label are going to pray it and get saved. I really do. I will never forget when Martin Luther made the statement. He said, the church needs to be about re-evangelizing the baptized. We can talk about that later. How do you respond? Somebody comes up and goes, I don't believe in the Bible. How would you respond? And we're going to get that. We're going to be the brochure. We're going to explain to them what we're doing. And they're going to go, you know what? Just keep it. I don't believe in the Bible. You know what the Lord laid on my heart? He said to say this. He go, you know what? None of us did. None of us believed in it until we heard the truth and God gave us the power to believe. Identify with him. None of us did. Until I'm holding in my hand and I want to offer you something that has the power to move you from not believing to believing. Faith comes by. This is my favorite. We're going to hand a brochure. Somebody's going to look at us and go, are you JW? You think we're going to get it? Oh yeah, we will. Do you know why? Because they're going to be in shock because there has never been a church go out there door to door. The only two churches that go to door are known to be who? The Mormons and... Now, I won't say what a shame, but what a shame. That if the church decides to begin going out and sowing the seed because we have the truth, not a truth, the truth, if we go out and begin sowing the seed, we're going to be identified as a cult. We're going to get it. I know we are. I'm looking forward to it. Because here's what I'm going to say. They're going to go, are you a JW? I'm going to go, no. We are Bible-believing Christians. We want to share the good news of Jesus while there's still time to do it. You think that would work? I'm not JW. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. Huh? A Jesus witness? No, I'm not even going to mess them up, Michelle. That's a good play on words. We're not going there. Let me give you one. And I gotta tell you, because the Lord laid this in my heart when I was preparing for this. We're going to hand this out, and we're going to end up at a door of someone who is going to look and go, we don't like that church. And I got to tell you, there are a few people in our community who don't like this church. There's a few. There's a few people in this community who don't like any church. But the reality is, there are some who don't like me, some who don't like our church. That's just a given. I will never forget when someone said, when you get into ministry, you are a gopher as a pastor that puts your head out of the hole. Be prepared to be shot at. 30 years of shooting. How do you answer? You hand out the brochure. On the back of the brochure, on the back of it, all the new ones have, because I don't believe that we need to hand anything out and have it totally anonymous. And let me just say this to you. We've had this happen in our community. Stuff comes in your mailbox and you look at it and it looks really good. I just had a conversation with someone not long ago. I said, where'd it come from? Who's owning it? Who's behind it? What's the church? Who's the organization? Well, there's nothing on it. Number of years ago, Camrose was blanketed. They set up something in the Norseman Inn where they had a meeting. Looked very Christian, very good. We had some of our people went. They went to it. Full-blown Seventh-day Adventist evangelistic outreach. And a pile of Christians were messed up by their theology. So the truth is, if something's going to go out, it's going to have our name. If I'm going to put it out there, I'm not going to be embarrassed by what's out there. If I'm putting it out there, it's going to have solid rock behind it. Somebody looks and goes, we don't like that church. Can I tell you what my response is going to be? I'm going to go, this isn't about a church. Don't make this about a church. I won't say that. This isn't about a church. This is about what Jesus said in the Bible that every person needs to know and believe to live with God for eternity. When we went to London, Ontario and did the wide distribution, I was kind of excited when I found out that our group of 10 that went, we were assigned to a very heavy Muslim community. And I began praying into that, and it's like, boy, what's the receptivity going to be? And I said, Lord, how do we do this? And I'll tell you what the Lord laid in my heart. The Lord laid in my heart that when we go, and it was, I mean, it was Muslim. I mean, almost every door, every second door we went, and the people were outside, they were talking, they were sitting in the verandas. They are just not like white North American people. They are so different. You walk up, and I say, hi, how are you? And they go, good. And I said, I've got a book that talks about a whole bunch of people whose lives have been changed by your prophet Jesus. Guess how many Muslims took the Y book? All of them. Why? Because we were talking about their prophet Jesus. And I went, God, that is brilliant. When I went out and spoke a few weeks before the campaign out in London, and I shared that with the entire distribution group, 300-400 people, I shared that with them. I'll tell you, London used that term that God gave with every Muslim we encountered. We're here to give you a book that talks about people's lives who've been changed by your prophet Jesus. Someone says, I don't like that church. I will be the first to tell them this isn't about a church. This is about what Jesus said every person needs to believe. Let me just say, do I expect we'll get some phone calls? Yeah, we will. We are preparing Kate because those phone calls as a whole will come to her. Our name is on the back of it. But when people walk into church, let me tell you, because this urgency is not of me, this urgency is the Holy Spirit, like I'm telling you, never had before. This distribution is an obedience at this time. It's not a program that we do every year. It is a Kairos moment. I am fully believing the Holy Spirit is working in these days that we are in. I'm fully believing the Holy Spirit is preparing the hearts of people, preparing them to receive it, preparing them to understand it, preparing them to pray and to receive Christ, praying them to step out and go to a church and begin to grow. I'm believing that. If this is an obedience and we're doing our part, I believe He's doing His part. When they walk into this church, and I am believing they're going to walk into this church. They're going to look at the back of this. This is going to go to a pile of people who have no church background. I got to tell you, a number of years ago when we used to do the Harvest Supper, and many of us were a part of that, we did that on a yearly basis. We had people who came to the Harvest Supper in October, one time a year, and for years they called me their pastor because they came here and met me, never went to church, but I'm their pastor. Isn't that something? When people walk into this church, this is what the Lord laid in my heart for us to do in preparation. Here it is. Are you ready for it? This is what He said. Colin, He said, do what you do every Sunday. Let me say it again. Do what you do as a church every Sunday. Let me tell you what we do every Sunday. Would you write these down? They're going to be in the screen. Five things that happen here every Sunday. You don't even think about it. They happen without being aware. Number one is this. Welcome them at the door. We have someone who stands at the door every Sunday. When you walk in, they're there to greet you, to hug you. When those people come in, for some of them, it's going to be the first time they come into a church, to have a warm face, to have a good morning, to have a welcome. Good to have you. Ask them the question, are you just visiting? Are you meeting somebody here? And they go, no, we got the brochure in our mailbox. Great to have you. Welcome them at the door. Second thing is this. Do what you always do on a Sunday. Greet them before the service begins. I don't know if you ever look around before a service happens, but you know that when there are new people who come into the church, before the service begins, there are people in our church who go and find them, see that they're new, don't know them, walk over, introduce themselves, and say, good morning, good to have you, and begin a conversation. That one conversation makes people feel more welcome and warm than a pile of times you could be in a church and out and nobody ever has any contact with you at all. So the Lord said, greet them. Before the service, good morning. Do you know someone here? Well, you're new here. The washrooms are back over there. There's a break in the middle, so when they have a coffee break in the middle, please don't leave the church. We've had that in the past. When coffee break happens, people think the church is over. And the visitors walk out the door. We've had that over the years. Third thing is this. Greet them during the break time. Our break time, and we've talked about this, is a very deliberate, intentional, spiritual ministry time. For some in the church, the only thing they think about getting up, going back and having a coffee and finding their seats. While that's happening, let me tell you, there are a pile of other people here who deliberately are looking around, looking for people who are alone, looking for new people, walking over to them, and recognizing this is a time to connect or a time to minister. I just want to say this to you again. When you look at our leadership team, this is something our leadership team, we talk about all the time. If you ever see a leadership person in our church visiting with someone that they know during the break time and not out connecting with new people, you come and tell me. Because while you're drinking coffee, our ministry team is ministering. And let me tell you, during that break time, if you're new to this church and you don't know anybody, that break time can be incredibly intimidating because I'm standing up and I don't know anybody. Let me tell you, within 30 seconds, if someone walks into your presence, good morning, how are you, and begin a conversation with you, that fear, that alone, that I don't know anybody, that disconnect is gone. God said, just do what you do every Sunday. Connect with people during the break. Number four. Greet them after the service. Now, I know there are some, their turkey is cooking, they're looking at 12 o'clock, and when we go over 12 o'clock, man, it just disrupts the spirit. I know there are some like that. The majority of those aren't at this church anymore. But after service, again, when people get up, when they're visiting, when they're just new, and when they get up and they walk to the back and all of a sudden they have people who come and walk up to them and go, good to see you today. Where are you from? How'd you enjoy the service? How'd you find your way here? That connection makes all the difference. Great to ask them. And again, this is fearful for some of you in the flesh, but in the spirit, when you're meeting new people, you can ask them the question. And I do this all the time. When people come, I go, how would you enjoy the service? Was it comfortable, familiar to where you come from? Good to ask them. I ask people and I say, do you got any questions about anything that happened here today? You can ask them that. You got any questions? There are some of you, and I got to say, bless you, that when you connect with people, one of the things you do, whether it's before the service, during the break, or after, you ask the question and go, could I pray for you? Now, how weird is that in a church to have somebody come up and ask you if I could pray for you before you walk out the door? Is that weird? For a lot of people, it would be. But can I tell you how beautiful when you have someone who comes and they step into your life and they just say, can I pray for you before you leave? Can I tell you, a person will never forget that. Especially when you're dealing with someone who's checking out, someone who's seeking, someone who's responding. The fifth one is this. And I got to say, I appreciate so many of you. When somebody comes, introduce them. You say, do you know what? Would you come with me? I'd like to introduce you to our pastor, Pastor Colin. I'd like to introduce you to Pastor Jane. And that person holds on. They wait until we're free. And then you bring them over and say, you know what? I just met John today. I'd like to introduce you to John. John's here for the first time today. Pastor Colin, this is John. John, this is Pastor Colin. Can I ask you a question? Do you think it makes a difference when you have someone who comes to be able to meet the pastors, meet the leadership, someone takes the time for them at that level and just want to even say, good morning, great to have you, and have that connection? Some of you are great bridge builders. You meet someone and you connect them with someone else. A lot of people need to be trained in that because they only think about themselves, only think about their coffee, only think about what's going on after. Some of you, you are bridge builders. You connect. You just connect. If you're that way, God bless you. If you need to learn to do that, learn to do that. I didn't write it down, but I got to tell you, we as a church, I remember when the Lord said to me, Colin, if you have one new believer walks through your door and you're not faithful with them, why should I give you a second? If we are not taking new believers and we are not discipling them, we are not hooking them up with an older believer and we're not coming alongside and we're not pouring into them in that early stage, you know, we've talked about it before, only 4% of people who receive Christ at a Billy Graham crusade 2 years later are still walking with the Lord. Why? Because they've not been connected. They've not been hooked with someone else. Many of you in here have been discipled one-on-one. Many of you in here have discipled someone else one-on-one. What happens if we have 50 or 100 or 300 who end up walking through these doors as a result of the seed that is sown and those new believers, how faithful we need to be to take them, disciple them, and lay a foundation in their life. We'll talk about that more in the days that are coming. I want you to just think of one picture before we go into a time of prayer. I don't know about you, but when Jane and I, we were married 5 years. I'll just say this. From the time I met her in the middle of December. We were married the end of May. So in 10 weeks after we met, we were engaged, and 10 weeks after we were married. Don't ever follow our example, ever. But it worked. People thought we were pregnant. You have to have intercourse before marriage to get pregnant. So after 9 months happened and there was no baby, after 5 years happened and there was no baby, all of the kind of disappeared, right? That just disappeared. After 5 years, we wanted to have a period of time and we began praying into having a family. Can I tell you, when we found out Jane was pregnant, there was an anticipation, there was an excitement on the inside of us. It was unreal. We knew that a seed had come together and there was going to be a baby born. Can I ask you a question? If we are sowing seeds and there is no anticipation and excitement of a birth to happen, do we really believe there's any power in the seed? I'm believing for harvest. I'm believing for souls to be saved. I'm believing at the end of this, there's going to be 30,000 people who will not be able to stand before the Lord and go, I didn't know. Solid Rock was in that community. Pastor Colin was in that community. The church was in the community for how many years? And they never heard about it. They won't be able to say it. They knew. Because someone sowed a seed. Church, I want to invite you. And this is why we needed to bump. Because the Lord said, Colin, I don't want you going out a second time and distributing seed without talking about the preparation. If they start coming, if they start asking, and we're not prepared, we better hold off on the seed. So two things on a Sunday morning. If people walk in the door, let me just say, let's do what we always do. Let's greet them at the door. Let's greet them before service. Let's greet them during the break. Let's greet them afterwards. Let's introduce them to Pastor Colin and Jay. Let's just do what some of you do so well. Let's do that. In preparation, I encourage you, get it. Become familiar with it. When people are in your community, get it beside you in their mailboxes and they begin asking. I'm thinking about when we come to Roseland. You guys in Roseland, your neighbors, every one of your neighbors is going to get one of those brochures. Somebody is going to ask you. And I know you'll be ready, Feely. You were ready in Africa, you'll be ready here. Dana, could I have you come? Any questions about this? Any thought, comment, question? Eva? Yeah. The more you see the day approaching, gather together. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Eva. It just keeps coming back to me what Bill Winston says. He goes, the days we're living in, he goes, if you're not a believer, he goes, the first thing I would do is become a believer. Because he says that we're going to need Christ to go through what's coming. Our eternity is the big one, but even today. Arnold?
Well, there's so much deception in the world today. This is giving them hope. This is giving them the truth. This is outlining the works of the Antichrist that has come into this world to deceive, to derail everything and everybody and keep them out of the kingdom of God. So this brings them the truth, the opportunity to accept the truth, which they wouldn't get otherwise.
Yeah. Would you bow with me this morning? Father, I want to say thank you. As Eva said, first of all, I want to say thank you that you found us, that you brought us to a place of recognizing our need for you, and whether as a young person, whether as an adult, coming to that point of praying and receiving you into our life, being filled with your Spirit, becoming born again, I want to say thank you for that. And if you're here today or if you're listening and you have never made that decision, I want to invite you today as an act of your will to just make that decision. Just to be able to pray and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. Fill me with your Spirit and your love. And I give you permission. Make me the kind of person you want me to be and use me in these days. If you prayed that prayer, I just want to say welcome to the family of God. You've been born again. But Father, I thank you that you have given us as a church an opportunity in this area, in our Jerusalem and our Samaria, to be able to sow a seed, Holy Spirit giving you something to work with. So there is not one person who will be able to say, I didn't know, I didn't have opportunity. Father, you never asked Moses to split the Red Sea. You simply asked him to take his staff and to put it down in the water. And you did the rest. You're not asking us to save these souls. You're asking us to sow a seed, and the work of the harvest is yours. So, Father, I pray over those who are going out every Wednesday. I pray blessing. I pray boldness. I pray protection. I pray sensitivity as they go, that they would be led by you as to what to say, what to pray, what to declare, what to bind up as we walk up every step, as we walk down the streets, in every community. Father, thank you. Your light is greater than the darkness we step into. I pray, Father, you would prepare the hearts of every person who is going to be receiving a brochure. Lord, there would be an unusual hunger. There would be no offense at this piece of mail that's in their mailbox, but Father, they would look at it, they would be drawn to it, there would be curiosity, they would pick it up, and they would begin to read and be captured and carry it all the way through. Father, I pray for those who call themselves Christian who have never prayed the prayer. As they read this, they will come to realize they need to make a decision, and they will. I pray for those who are bound up in demonic cults, that as they look at this, that Father, there would be a veil that would be pulled back and the truth would be able to get in, and they would see and understand what they have never before. Father, I want to say thank you. This is harvest season. And as the physical combines roll, Father, let the spiritual combines roll. And by faith, I say thank you. Thank you in advance for the fruit, for the harvest. Thank you that the fields that are white and ripe have laborers that are coming into them. And you will do the work. Father, I pray you would grant us as a church favor. I pray for those whose hearts are hard. I pray, Father, there would be a softening. I pray there would be receptivity as we talk to people. I pray that we would have the right words to say at the right time. And I thank you in advance, Lord. I thank you in advance for what is going to take place, I believe, above and beyond what we could ask or imagine. I release a grace, Father, over this church, that as we meet people on the street and on our lawns and in our neighborhoods, Father, those conversations would be so filled by you, they would be divine appointments. I release a grace over this church as people walk in this door, as they look at the back of it and read where this thing came from. Father, there would be such a grace in this church to love them, to receive them, to bless them, to welcome them, to be used by you to surround them in a way they have never been loved before. And so, Lord, we give you the glory. Empower us to be obedient. And give us a heart of expectation. Because the baby's coming. And we will give you the glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said, Amen.